United Methodist Church on this last Sunday in June. It's the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. We are still in the Pentecost season in the Christian calendar. This is also the Sunday that we generally celebrate our anniversaries and birthdays. We will have a special prayer during the service for that. And unfortunately, we don't have any lunch, right? Maybe we'll have one day soon. Let's pray about that. It is a blessing to get up every morning to see the sunlight and get up and to be alive in this world. What a blessing it is that God has given us this health and strength in our bodies to get together, even though online, and worship together with all the saints around the world. That's a blessing and a privilege that God has given us. Let us be thankful for that. Our on the welcome and announcements, if you can post it on our Georgia Mountain Food Bank, we are still collecting food. Are we getting donations on that, Gail? Or
we haven't gotten any
lately.
A few weeks, so
okay.
We'll probably be sending out
soon.
What we've got.
What we got, okay.
Yeah.
So the collections have gone down a little bit on that. If you have extra groceries or anything that you can shop, or you can even give a check to them. It's a great ministry that we have been supporting for several years. Let us continue to do that, that this kind of pandemic will not stop us from that kind of ministry that we have been doing. So let us continue to donate for that. My book is still available for sale. $10 will go completely, all the proceeds, to the Sunday school class ministry. Talking about Sunday school, we start at 9:45 on the same line. So if you can join or bring or invite someone else to join with us. We had a great Sunday school today. We talked about love and the spiritual gifts that we all had. We discussed 1 Corinthians. So we'll continue to do that. And please join us at 9:45. We have some time extra on Sunday morning. The annual conference is on 28th and 29th and will be online only. You'll get more information on that later on. Next Sunday, July 5th, we will open our doors and we'll have Martha give you a little brief report of what we have decided about that and some other financial things that we did after this. We plan to open the church for the public next Sunday. The protocols will be sent out next week. If you continue to donate your offerings and your tithes, please send it to the address listed on the screen. Or if you just have cash, we can pick it up as well if you can give me or Gail a call. And at the same time, as a church, we have a responsibility in this community to step up and support people who are struggling this time, paying their utilities or buying groceries. If you know anyone, even if they are not part of the church, not even in our faith, we will help them. So we want to help them. It's time. Let me know, text me or have them call me. We will help out as much as we can as a small church. I think we are called to do that at this time as well. The attendance collection are listed there. Last Sunday we had 24 online and the collection is 175. Year-to-date receipts and need are also listed there. We had some made some decisions in the meeting, church council meeting on Wednesday. I will get Martha to briefly give you a little report of what we did on Wednesday now.
Yes, we met primarily to go over the budget, which is not always the easiest thing to do for a church. Sometimes the business part can really interrupt with the spiritual part, but we came together and we made some decisions that are going to help. We are going to reduce the cleaning of the church from four times a week to one time a week, thus saving us money here. And we have come to realize that we were paying for a pest control, but it was for a different type of service. It was mainly, I think, outside animals. So we're going to relook at that. We're going to let that go for now and just anybody getting sick or compromised during this time. So please, 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 just use common sense. That's all it takes is common sense. Pastor Matthew, is there anything else that I missed?
No, thank you, Martha. Thank you for leading us. Even though you were home, you had been an encouragement to all of us. So thank you for your support and leadership of the church.
Thank you.
Are there any other announcements, anything that I missed? If not, let us continue our worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God is good and He is good all the time. The opening hymn is hymn number 100, God Whose Love is Reigning Over Us. Let us pray. Holy and Almighty God, we humbly gather in your presence to praise you and honor your name. We thank you for this opportunity and the privilege that you have given us to gather together in your name to worship you. Thank you for the blessings that you have showered upon us throughout this past week and your continued blessings that you offer us, Lord, for covering us with your love and protection. And what a great day that you have given us together. As the psalmist says, it's better is one day in God's presence than 1,000 days elsewhere. We thank you for blessing us with your presence here today. Thank you for the gift of life with all its joys and blessings. And also the burdens that we bring to you, Lord, you always find an answer and solution for our problems. When we face problems, Lord, we pray, know that you are there to handle our burdens. In your presence we find peace, in your guidance we find answers, and in your protection we feel secure. All honor and glory be to you alone, God, and help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints around the world and in heaven, that we will bring honor to your name through our praises, our prayers, our meditation of the word, and the witness that we do here and outside the church. Bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It is the greeting time, our fellowship time. If we can unmute everybody so we can say hi to each other. Good morning, everyone. Can you all hear us?
Morning.
Good morning. Everybody's doing okay? Hey, Terry. Good morning, Terry. Nice to see you all.
Good to see y'all.
Miss Linda, Jack there? Then can you hear us? Let him know that we miss him and we love him.
Going to try. Yeah, I'm just trying to get you in.
Okay, we got Harry now and Janice too.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. But Jack's doing okay. So am I.
Okay, great. Nice to hear him. That 0099 is Robert, right?
Yes.
Okay, Robert has 2 phones. The last Sunday of the month, we generally celebrate our birthdays and anniversaries. So if you can call out if you have celebrated a birthday or anniversary or anything else that is special in your life, let's call it out so we can thank God for that celebration.
June 18th.
I was first. June 1st. So June is a great month. three people here.
Mackenzie was June 8th.
June 8th, hey, Mackenzie. Yeah. All right. Happy birthday, Mackenzie.
And Dean, he got his learner's permit.
Who?
Right. He drove me to church this morning.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyone else have anything else to celebrate? Please call out. Anniversaries?
Haley and I had an anniversary.
Yay!
Hey, happy anniversary!
Happy anniversary. Who was that?
Happy anniversary.
All right, let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of life and love and family and friends and church and fellowship. Oh God, help us to understand that in Jesus Christ you gave us everything, even more than we could ever deserve. We pray for those who are celebrating their anniversaries and birthdays this month. We thank you for a new year in their lives. We thank you for the blessings that you shower upon them every day. With the passing of time, you have increased and deepened their love towards you and for others. We give you thanks for your past blessings and pray for your continued mercies on them. Renew your blessings upon them that they will enjoy many happy years. Lord, we pray that you will cover them with your love, comfort them with your joyful presence, confirm them in their hope. May your Holy Spirit strengthen them in faith and fill them with love and service for you and for others. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The responsive reading is Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7. Hughes will be leading us.
Hear, hear, O shepherds of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned above the cherubim, shine forth.
In the throne of our Ephraim, and Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your might and calm favor.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
O Lord of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayer?
You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure.
You make us the scorn of our neighbors and our enemies last as long as we
know. Restore us, O God, of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. As we come to our prayer time, we together as a church family come together and share our prayers of blessings so we can thank together God the blessings that we receive in our lives. What we are and what we enjoy are all gifts from God. So share our prayers, blessings today so we can thank God. At the same time, as a church family, we bring our prayers of concerns and burdens together and lift them up to the Lord of God, the throne of grace of God. And God's promise is that He will answer our prayers according to His will and at His time. So let us bring our share our prayers, our blessings as well as burdens together. As a church family, we can bring them up to the Lord. The prayer requests are posted on the screen. Please use that as a list to pray for these people continuously and regularly on your regular prayers, particularly for the frontline people who are fighting the pandemic at this time, our nurses, doctors, and essential personnel, our grocery workers, and our trash workers, and all those people are working behind the scene to support us in our daily lives. Let us not forget their services and thank God for their services and pray for them to be safe. Let us also continue to pray for our president of the country and the governors of the state, those who are making decisions about reopening the economy in various places. Let us pray that God will give them the wisdom to do wise decisions and make them safe for all. Let us also pray for our church as we are planning to reopen next Sunday. We will have Holy Communion like we did last month. Those who are coming to the parking lot, let us know. We will wait for you. And those who want to be served at home at their porches, we will bring them to you as well. Please let me or Gail know who wants to be served at the parking lot or at your home. We'll be glad to do that.
I'd like to raise a concern for one of my client's daughters. Her name is Ashley Miller, and she went into the hospital with some abdominal pain, and apparently she has a blockage in her colon from some scar tissue, and they're concerned it may need surgery, which would be a 6 to 8 week recovery, and she's just started a new job, and she has 3 young children, so it would be quite difficult. So just pray for her, and hopefully it does not require that and they can resolve whatever her issue is.
Pray for Ashley Miller, right?
Yes.
How is your dad doing,
Marcus? He's doing good. He's seemed to be a little bit more attentive this past weekend. I'll probably see him again here shortly. But he does show signs of dementia. And so please keep them in your prayers. Actually, my whole family. I need to all just send it out.
Yes. Okay. Anyone else online?
I do.
Okay.
My brother, Bruce Talent in Franklin, he is in the hospital. He has a severe UTI infection. And it's really, you know, knocking down pretty good. So he'll probably have to go to physical therapy. In a place. And then my little, almost 3-year-old grandson, he, on Thursday night, he woke up in pain, and they took him to urgent care Friday, and he's got a UTI. That's very young to have one, but he's got a UTI also, so, and he's been in a lot of pain, and so just pray for him. His name's William.
William.
William, uh-huh.
Is he back home?
Well, Bruce is in the hospital in Franklin, but William's my little grandson, and he's at home. But they both have UTI, urinary tract infections.
Oh, okay.
And William's very young to have one, but he has it.
Hmm.
And it kind of infected his kidneys a little bit, so he's on antibiotics, so we'll be okay.
Okay, yeah, we'll pray for William and Bruce.
Okay.
We'll also pray for Marcus' dad, Ernest, right? Ernest Howell.
Yes.
Keep him and his whole family in our prayers. It is great to hear from Martha again this morning, and she's continuing to recover. We need to keep her in our prayers and thank God for her leadership for the church. Continue to pray for Jack and Linda as Jack is continuing with his dialysis treatment. To be strong, and God's presence will be with them during this time. Are there any other prayer requests or blessings to share? If not, let us go to God in prayer together. We'll take a few moments in silence. We can also bring up your unspoken prayers during that time. And then after that, I will close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. The scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not, along with him, graciously give us all things? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us to gather together in your name and worship you together with all the saints around the world in heaven. It is a privilege and a blessing to be together to share our prayers of blessings as well as our burdens and concerns to our Heavenly Father, who listens to us patiently and who meets every need of ours at His will and His time. Thank you for blessings that you have showered upon us even when we did not deserve it. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection every day in the midst of this pandemic. We look up to you for our needs at this time, Lord. You are the source of all good things, and you only desire good things for us, Lord. We seek your presence and raise our burdens and concerns to your throne at this time. We lift them, those who need protection and guidance, touch those who need your healing, comfort those who are in distress, Lord. Strengthen those who are weak and empower those who are in trouble. Let your Holy Spirit direct them who need direction in life. We pray that you will bless us today in our worship with your presence to honor your name and bring glory to your name, Lord, through our singing, our prayers, and our meditation of the word, so that we can be empowered to do your witness through our lives in these days to come. Give us the grace to act in faith in times of difficulties and uncertainty like this. We thank you for your healing presence with us. When we are hurt, we look up to you for your healing. Guide us in all we do as a church, Lord, to be faithful witnesses for you in this community and around the world. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The choir will be singing during the offertory time. Please take this time to offer your tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Loving God, you are the source of all that we have and we are. You are a gracious God, you shower upon us all the blessings, and we bring a part of what you have given us back to you, Lord. Help us to understand in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. As we offer ourselves and our gifts at this time, Lord, we pray that you shower upon us all the blessings, that your continued blessings on us in the days to come. May we find joy as we freely give our prayers, our presence, our gifts and our service to support the ministry of this church in this community and around the world. We thank you for those who were able to give today, as well as pray for those who could not give. Remember all of them in your love, God. Bless and help us to use this offering to share your love to this world. In the name of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The scripture will be read by Marcus. It's taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, 1 through 10. As it is our tradition to stand for reading the scripture as a reverence to the scripture, if you are able, wherever you are, please stand for reading of the scripture.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and then they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sounds of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I hear you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Word of God from the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Marcus, for reading the scripture today. Let us pray. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. Loving God, we come before your word this morning. May we explore the hidden treasures in your word that will brighten our lives and become a beacon of light through us to this world. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word that was in the beginning and that will be forever. Give us the grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of wisdom. As we meditate on your word, open our hearts and illumine our souls and empower our spirits so that we can be powerful witnesses in the days to come wherever you place us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So this passage is probably a familiar passage you have heard right from the childhood days about the creation and the creation of man and how Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, were placed in the Garden of Eden, and then they disobeyed God, and then there was a big problem that we just read today. The scripture says that Adam and Eve were placed in this garden of abundance where God gave them everything under their dominion. That's what we read in Genesis, the first two chapters. All the creations were made for man to rule over and to enjoy from it. We read that in the first two chapters. And he placed it all under man's dominion and then pronounced it all to be very good. We read that in verses 28 through 31 of chapter 1. So God created pretty much everything with a focus on man that he created on the sixth day. All the 5 days of creation were all really, the scripture says, was for man whom he created on the sixth day. All the other creations were created by his word of mouth. Let there be, and it was there. Let there be light, and the light was there. Let the living plants come up, and they came up. And let the earth be filled with animals and all other living and creeping and walking creatures, and they were there. But man was created not like that by the word of mouth, but he was created out of the dust of the earth, which he already created. So we are part of the earth, not like the other creations. We were created uniquely by a designer who created us from the part of this earth. It's very unique that when I think about it, God created man in his own image. That's what we read there. In the image of God, he created him. And also we read that he created them male and female. They call it plural there. Even though he created Adam, we read there that he created them male and female. There was only Adam at that time, but Eve was part of Adam. What a unique, what an interesting thought. Even though we see only Adam as one person, Eve was in the plan with Adam when he created. He calls them in plural, and we read that he created them male and female. And why did God create? Because that is his job. He's the creator. A carpenter does his job because he's a carpenter. God is a creator who creates. And he created everything, and he still creates new things today. We can create things, but only from the things that exist. But God is the only creator who can create things out of nothing. And that is what God does even today. In the nothingness of our lives, God creates beautiful things out of it. Sometimes we find ourselves miserable and broken, and the situation seems to be hopeless and kind of don't know where to turn to, and we give up on things, but God creates beautiful things out of our brokenness even now. That is what he does. He's the creator of everything, and he does it. And also he created everything because he thought they were good. God does only good things. And we read that day after day it says that God created this and he saw that it was good. So he creates things because it is good to be creative. And always creation is good. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed everything was good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. There was therefore nothing bad in the created world, no hunger, no struggle. Even after the creation of man, everything went perfect. The creation has purpose behind it. Like I said, God had made all these things towards the one focus of the creation, the ultimate glory of the creation, that is the creation of man. Because he created them, Adam, in his own image. Man and woman were created with different nature and purpose to complement and support each other, not to subject to each other. Sometimes we misinterpret those things. Even though Adam was created out of the earth, Eve was not created out of the dust. That is why probably women are more beautiful. Because they are created out of the flesh and bone of Adam. They are not part of the earth. What an interesting creation that we have together. So here we are, man and woman created in the image of God to complement each other and support each other, were placed in the blessing of this Garden of Eden to enjoy and to be there together, to fellowship together between each other, and also to God when he comes and visits them. Then comes the devil, right? Not just an animal. We read that it is a snake that came there, a serpent, and then started talking. But that serpent was a reasoning serpent. He was asking questions to Eve. That is what the unique creativity of God is about man. Man is the only creation that can reason as much as we can see. Apart from other animals, we can create, we can plan, we can do a lot of things that other creations cannot do. And there, here comes a serpent who was not meant to do all of these things, and then he reasons with Eve, because that animal knows that this creation has the power of reasoning. Eve should have known better, you know, when a serpent started speaking. Then she should have known better. What? And something's not right here. But she did not. She started a conversation there. Eve was not surprised at the serpent speaking. Maybe it was a temptation that spoke through the other subtle means. Somehow they communicated between each other with reasoning. The devil speaks to us every moment of our lives through very subtle means sometimes. We think that very logical and reasonable. The devil tried Jesus in the desert to tempt him, telling Jesus many things, to turn the stones into bread and to jump off the tower so that he can become the king. So devil comes with reasoning and arguments placing before us, because the devil knows that we are people who can reason. The devil reasons. He questions whether there was sin or not. The devil asks several questions. Did really God tell you to eat not from? And then he says, yeah, God told me not to eat from that tree, because we will be like God. To open your eyes. And the devil said, yeah, exactly. Your eyes will be opened and you shall have much more of the power and pleasure that you have now. So he was tempting with more pleasure and power if you eat from that tree. Eve saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and to be desired to make one wise. We read three things there. First of all, it was good for food. Second thing, it was pleasant to the eyes. And the third thing, she said, it was desired to make one wise. We read in 1 John, when he writes the letter, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, we read, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the devil, from the world. The world and this desire will pass away. So the three things that John points out about the lust of the flesh, good for food, the lust of the eyes, it says that it is pleasant to the eyes, good-looking fruit. And then the pride of life, to desire one to become wiser than God. The pride of life. So they fell into this pride of life that they wanted to become like God. Then became the disobedience along with it. Pride and disobedience together make us lose our awareness of who we are. That is why when God came to visit them, God is asking a question. Where are you? It is not that God did not know where they were. Someone has said, all great questions are usually short. Where are you? What is your name? Sometimes people ask you. Like Jesus asked the guy who was blind and wanted to be healed. Do you want to be healed? What a rhetorical question that is. I mean, anybody could know he wanted healing. But Jesus asked them. These questions are very important, even though our reason tells that it's kind of rhetorical question. If God knows where they are, why would we ask him? Where are you? Didn't God know? One who spoke the world to came into being, and the one who set the stars in the places of the sky, that who knows everything, exactly knew where Adam and Eve were. But the question goes further than that. It's a short question. It is about asking Adam and Eve, do you know where you are? That is the important question that we need to get from that. So sometimes when guests come to our home driving and they are closer to our home and ask for directions, they call us, right, and say, hey, then we will ask them, where are you? So we can give them the direction and direct them to come to our home. So you have to know where you are to be directed to the place where you want to go. So God was asking, where are you, in the sense that Adam and Eve, do you know where you are now? Well, that's the question that they did not really understand. They said, we are hiding from you because we realized that we were naked. That's what actually Adam told him. We heard your sound in the garden and we thought we were naked, so we hid ourselves. Well, really, were they naked? They actually made a cloth with the fig leaves, and there was no reason to be ashamed at that time because they covered themselves before God came. So he was saying that we hid ourselves because we were naked, but that's not the truth. The truth was that they disobeyed God and they hid themselves from God. A missionary was jailed in Russia during the communist time, and the jail guard and the missionary became friends. And the guard was a Christian. One day the guard asked about the Bible and asked the missionary, how are we to understand that God, the all-knowing God, asking Adam, where are you? The missionary answered the jailer, do you believe that the scriptures are eternal and that every generation and every man, it is given to them as a message to that generation? He said, yeah, I believe that it is the word of God, and it is given as the commandment from God. Yes, I believe that. Then the missionary said, in every stage and phase of life, God asks every person, where are you in your life? So many years and days of those allotted to you have passed, and how far have you gotten in your world that God gave you? God says something like this, you have lived 46 years, how far long are you and where are you? When the jailer heard his exact age mentioned, even though it was a coincidence that 46 years, he stood up shaken, placed his hand on the missionary's hand and cried like a child. The message was exactly for him. He repented of his past and accepted Christ, even though he thought he was a Christian. The question comes to you and me at the stage of our lives, where are you? Where are you in your life? God did not need to ask Adam where he was. It was Adam who needed to be asked. We needed to be asked every day, every moment of our lives. It is we who need to be asked, where are we in our lives? When we are asked by God together and alone to admit for good and ill where we are, He is asking us to render a spiritual accounting of our situation, not about our careers, but about our compassion, not about our wealth or fame, but about wisdom. He is asking not about our gains, but He is asking about our gifts that He had given us. Not about our physical fitness, but about our spiritual fitness. So God is asking each and every one of us, every moment of our lives, where are you? Where are you? Because you need to know where you are in your life so that He can take you where you need to should be. A ship cannot make its way through the sea without a compass. We cannot make our way through life without being asked at the turn of at each turn of our lives, every year, every day, where are you? That question and our answer create the moral agenda for our work in the life ahead of us. The question and the answer are meant to go deeper into the hidings, our evasions and our self-deceptions that bind us, like Adam and Eve. They had to come out from their hiding. You cannot hide with your guilt forever. And the question had to be asked, where are you? Do you know what you have done? That was the next question God asked them. God asked Eve, what is it that you have done? Again, a rhetorical question. God knew, but did she know? Will you own your own fault? That was another question that we need to answer. Neither of them they understand this fully. Adam lays the blame on his wife. He took it like a man. The woman then blamed it on the serpent, ultimately saying that it is all God's fault. They saw the happiness they were fallen from and the misery that they're fallen into. They say a new law that coming. When they broke the law, they broke the relationship between each other, blaming each other. The love bond has been broken between each other that they had, blaming one on the other. And then they also lost the relationship with God because they started blaming God. The whole situation became so confusing and disastrous that God had to intervene. They made their own little dress with the leaves, the fig leaves. But they knew, and God knew, that that's going to dry off in a day. But God's mercy and grace was far beyond that. He actually clothed them with the skin of an animal. We read that there as well. Because He was more gracious and He knew that their efforts of clothing themselves are going to be temporary, which will not stand the heat of the sun. A sacrifice of an animal is also being pictured there. It is a pointer to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Whoever believes in that sacrifice will be clothed with the righteousness of God that will not dry off in the heat of the sun. When we face these problems in this world, the clothing that God gives us through the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteousness robe that He puts on us, will not dry up. Because He is a merciful God and gracious God, He gave us the robe of righteousness through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Suppression of our life from God is pitiful. When we lose our connection with God, we become hopeless. Guilt can rob us of the joy and peace God has intended to rule in our lives. The creation is in disorder today because we broke the relationship with God, the Creator. It started slipping away from the purpose it was made. It is a sad change that we see all around us, not only in our lives, but in human lives, in the life of all creation. The environment is completely in disarray. Before they had sinned, if they had heard the voice of the Lord, they would come running towards Him. But now after they have sinned, When they heard God's voice, they are running away from it. That's what we do. Guilt puts us and breaks us the bond of love between each other and between God and us. Put everything in disarray. We need to have a restoration. Only God can do. Don't know if I have said the story of Joni and Sally, the duck story. Maybe I have said this here. Joni and his sister Sally were visiting their grandparents on their farm. And Joni was given a slingshot to play with. When he was practicing in the woods, as he was walking back and forth, he saw grandma's pet duck walking by. Just out of impulse, he let the sling fly towards the duck and killed the duck. He was shocked and grieved. He didn't know what to do. In panic, he actually took the dead duck and hid it under some leaves and in a wood pile. But Sister Sally was watching. And Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. But after lunch the next day, Grandma said, "Sally, I want you to wash the dishes for me." But Sally said, "Grandma, Joni told me he wanted to help in the kitchen." Then she whispered to Joni, "Remember the duck?" So Joni did the dishes. And then later that day, Grandpa asked if they wanted to go out fishing with him. And then Grandma said, "Sorry, I need a lot of work done in the home. I wanted Sally to stay back and help me do the wash the dishes and make the supper." Then Sally just smiled and said, "Well, that's all right, but Joni told me he wanted to help." She whispered again to Joni's ears, "Remember the duck?" So Sally went fishing and Joni stayed to help. Poor Joni. After several days of going and back and forth like this, Joni got tired. And he finally came to Grandma and confessed that he had killed the duck. Grandma knelt down and gave him a big hug and said, "Sweetheart, I know. You see, I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. But because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you would let Sally make a prisoner of you." This is what's happening in our lives. Guilt pervades us until and unless we repent and come to God and open ourselves up. God is there to forgive us. And we will be freed from the guilt. It is not God who needs to be asked that question. It is us we need to be asked every day, every moment of our lives. Where are you? Where are you with life? We long for freedom from self-pity and guilt. And we need righteousness in our lives. We need freedom from bondage of fear and guilt. Only God can give us. That is what He did through Jesus Christ, His Son. In 1 John we read, chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." A God who is merciful, that we can come to Him with all of our guilt, all of our burdens. He is ready to forgive us no matter what. Let us come to Him today. May God bless you with these words and to be His witnesses, to be freed from the bondage of guilt, so that we can be more effective to spread His love and compassion to this world. May God bless you all. Amen. The closing hymn is "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms," hymn number 133, if you want to follow. people of God, go forth in the knowledge that God gives us second chances every day. He is merciful. He lifts us up when we fall down. He encourages us when we are put down. When we are broken, He mends us. So let us come to God with our open hearts and of our open minds, so that He can bless us and free us from our guilt and bondage. Now receive this benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you.